Starting in Luke 2, 8 through 14, it says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to men on whom his favor rests.'" And I'd like to preach for a while this morning from the subject, peace on earth. Father, we thank you for this time together this morning. Lord, I pray that you would help me to teach your word accurately, and that God, each person can be encouraged, Lord, to find peace in Christ today. Lord, it is a chaotic world that often is stealing any sense of peace that we have, God, but we know that Jesus came to give peace to us. So, Lord, help us to find that this Christmas season and to live it out all year long. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, week two of Advent is focused on peace, and so I thought I would address that, and maybe next week we'll do the same Advent. I've never really preached each Sunday of Advent before, but last week was a joy, and I just did a sermon on joy a couple of months ago, so I didn't do that last week. So, anyways, this obviously the passage I read is very familiar. Often many people think of it as the Christmas story. It certainly is very famous for being what Linus quotes in the Charlie Brown Christmas special, one of my favorites. And at the end of it, you know, in this passage, the angel says that there's to be peace on earth. Jesus came, this child, this baby who is the Messiah, came to bring peace on earth to men. And it intrigues me when I think about Christmas as a time when God sent Jesus for it. We're told here, there are multiple purposes. Obviously, he came to redeem us from our sin. But in this passage, we're told, and the angel announces, that he came to give us peace. And I don't know if you sat down and thought about your day and thought about your week and said, how often, how much time, how frequently do I feel like I have peace in my life? I don't know. If you're like me, I might say it's a very small amount. I don't know when through the course of the craziness of the world and the busyness of the day and all the different demands that are on us, and there's always been demands, you know. I mean, I don't want to whine and complain like we're something special. I always think back to my grandparents and certainly their grandparents. Those people literally worked from the time they woke up until they went to bed just to live another day. I mean, we have so much more than that, but, you know, there's certainly not a lot of time to just say, I have peace. I have the security and the contentment that goes along with it. But Jesus came for that very purpose, not to do away with the busyness, not to do away with the chaos, and obviously the world is going to be the world. You know, I'm never surprised when people who don't know God, they don't know Jesus, do crazy things, sometimes even evil things. We sometimes find that, like, we act like we're so shocked by that. I don't know if I'm ever that shocked by it, because that's what they do. Okay, evil people do evil. So I've never find it that shocking. But God did not, I don't think, came, Jesus didn't come to remove all that stuff from the world. He came to give us the ability to find peace in the midst of all of that. That's going to go on. It's always gone on. And until Jesus comes back, it's going to continue to go on. But God says in the midst of that, we have the ability to find peace. And so I think that a lot of times we go, well, when I get to that week between December 25th and January 1st, in that week, the world kind of slows down and maybe I'll have a little bit of peace then. But I think God wants us to bring, you know, have peace in our life all the time as much as we can if we focus on him. So ever since sin came into the world, we've been separated from God. And the more that we are separated from him, the less peace that we're going to have, because we have less certainty in the world. We have more trials and turmoil and things that go on around us all the time. But ever since then, we've been trying to find a way, and God has been giving us a way through Jesus to be restored to having some sense of peace in our lives. The natural state that God created man to live in was in a peaceful relationship with Him. When you think about Adam and Eve, when God created them before sin entered into the world, they had, we think about stress, worry, anxiety. It didn't exist. No stressful thought, no worry, nothing ever even passed through their mind. It was completely foreign to them. And if you'd have asked them, if you just said to Adam and Eve, what are you worried about? They'd have gone, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what the meaning of the words that are coming out of your mouth mean. I don't know what you're saying. Because God created us. They walked and talked with God in a perfect environment. That's how God intended us to live. And it is, I believe, inside of every one of us that we long to be restored to have that, that kind of relationship to us again with God in existence in this world. And that's what Christmas, it doesn't make us back in the Garden of Eden, but it reminds us that we serve a God who wants us to have peace in our lives. And I think we all probably define peace maybe in a little bit different way, in the way it looks in our lives. Maybe, one person wants peace in one area. It's like, boy, I could really use peace in my relationships, or just chaotic. Another person says, I really need peace in my workplace. It's going crazy right now. There's all kinds of things. If you want to have peace, don't watch the news. That's one way I could probably help myself out by not paying so much attention to some of the craziness in the world. But we all have different areas that would be to us, would help us have more peace. But I believe, again, God wants us to have peace in the midst of all of it. Peace has several different definitions, and I think that this is how, when we apply it to different areas of our lives, maybe that's why I've looked up and there are several different definitions. But one definition of peace is the absence of strife, turmoil, and conflict. So maybe in those personal areas, it's referring to it. Another one, no emotional stress, worry, burden, or pain. When I read that, I think about, financial things. I think of physical things. No worry, no burden, no pain. Another one is good relationships, no conflict, and unity with others. So again, we're back to relationships. So these are some of the different definitions if you look in the dictionary, you're going to find of the word peace. But the desire to have peace in our lives is an extraordinary challenge, because the world is chaotic, and all kinds of things come up and try to steal that peace from us. The lack of peace in our lives is the cause of so many different areas of stress, of unhappiness. I mean, people that have peace are not unhappy. People that have peace, it's like the opposite of stress. People that have peace, it can even, it affects your physical well-being. The stress and the anxiety that goes with everyday life is proven to have actual physical implications, physical effects on our bodies and our health. It's not just our mind and emotions. So when we lack peace, there's all these negative things that come along with the lack of peace. And in fact, the cause that we have, our desire to have peace, to have some sense of contentment and normalcy to our lives, can cause people to do some really extraordinary things. We want peace. What would you do? What price would you pay, or what sacrifice would you be willing to make if it could just give you the peace that you were looking for? I think a lot of us say, I'd actually be willing to pay a pretty high price if it could buy me the peace that I would like to have in my life. The desire for peace can cause us to do some extraordinary things. And I'm going to show a little video clip here that it sounds unbelievable. But as far as I can tell, as I've looked into this, this event really did happen during World War I. Watch this. ¶¶
As a boy, Christmas time always meant visiting my grandparents in London. Grandmother loved to bake and spoil us with presents and cakes. After she died, it wasn't the same. Grandfather had never been one to say much, and he became even more quiet once he was bedridden. Alone in his room with him one Christmas Eve, neither of us knew what to say. To break the silence, I asked about an old photo on his shelf. I knew he had fought in World War I, though he rarely spoke of it. But something unlocked in him that night, and he told me this story. It was all supposed to be over by Christmas. Of course, it didn't happen that way. We spent every day and night in the trenches, and all the time, the enemy, 50 yards away, waiting to shoot us. It felt like nothing could ever end it. That Christmas Eve was about the lowest I'd ever felt. We got packages from home. Your grandmother sent me a picture of herself, but it just made me miss her more. Late that night, though, something happened. I heard singing. I grabbed my rifle and poked my head up just enough to see the lights. Lights all along the German trench. The Germans were singing Christmas songs and lighting candles. I don't know what drew him, but one German soldier climbed out of his trench and began to walk across no man's land. It was the bravest thing I've ever seen. Soon, I heard some of our men singing along with the Germans, and a few of the fellows started to climb out as well. Before long, most of us were out there. We shook hands with them, shook hands with the very Germans we'd been trying to kill. I guess we all wanted Christmas more than war that night. We spent all of Christmas Day right out in the open with them. We made small talk, told jokes, traded little gifts with each other, and some of us held services, reading the Christmas story back and forth in English and German, and praying together on Christmas morning. I wouldn't believe it if I hadn't been there myself. Grandfather stopped talking. Finally, I asked him why that didn't end the war. How could they go back to shooting at each other after that? Most of us wanted it to be over, of course. We wanted to go home, but we learned that year that Christmas isn't what brings peace. Christmas is a promise that Jesus will bring peace to all who believe, to the whole world, when the time is right. Christmas is the promise that one day we'll go home. I can't wait to shake hands with some of those German lads again.
So he says at the conclusion of that, pardon me, that Christmas is, you know, doesn't bring peace, but it promises peace for those who believe, and that is something that's significant. It is up to us to believe in the promise in order to embrace the promise. It doesn't just automatically happen. You know, when it says peace, Jesus brought peace into the world. We know the world is not at peace, but we have the opportunity to have peace if we believe in that promise of what he came to do for us. But what struck me about that story is the desire to have peace that overwhelmed the moment of war, of these people who had literally been shooting at each other to be out there together. This idea that living that life in the trenches at war for months on end we think of our humanity, because we define our humanity and our lives by the people that are a part of it, the places that we live, the places we go, the things that we do, all the people that we have interactions with, our families. They had been living in a trench for months. None of that existed. And because for human beings, all those other things define our lives, it seems to me that their sense of their own life had diminished. It didn't exist. But to have that time with other people, to talk about their families and talk about memories and share items with other people, those things that have been missing as you just live in a trench kind of were restored for a brief moment, that I actually do have a life. There actually are, people that are a part of me. I'm not just this soulless machine being used to fight a war in a trench. They wanted that sense of normalcy to return, and the peace that goes along with that. It's an amazing thing to me that our desire to have peace, to have some amount of peace in our lives, would cause us to do such an extraordinary thing. And that to me seems like an extraordinary thing. The idea of peace on earth, however, there are even contradictions to that promise in Scripture. While we're told that Jesus came to give us peace, Luke 12:51, Jesus himself says, "Do not think I came to bring peace on earth. No, I tell you, but division." So while the angels proclaimed that Jesus came to give us peace on earth, Jesus said that his presence on earth was to bring division. And of course, he means divide those who are going to follow him and know him as Lord and Savior and those who don't. While it is true, it says that the angel said that Jesus came to give us peace, I would say it seems to me, biblically speaking, it might be more accurate to say Jesus came to offer peace. It is not just automatic that everybody is going to have it, but we have the offer of peace presented to us by Jesus if we will be reconciled to God through him. So that's what I want to look at here a little bit. This isn't going to be terribly long this morning, but I want to go back to Luke 2:14, where it says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." And that's critical. Peace to men, yes, but the peace comes to those who his favor rests upon. God sent Jesus in the world to bring us favor. And with that favor, we have the peace that he offers us, and that is through a saving relationship with him. Luke 4:18-19 says, this is Jesus speaking. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recover sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." So the angel says, we have peace on earth to men on whom God's favor rests. We have favor offered to us if we receive Jesus, the things that he came to do for us. And Jesus said, we are living in a time of the Lord's favor. His favor is available to us. It's offered to us. But we have to make that decision. But the peace that comes because we have the Lord's favor, and he lists several different things here. One of the things he says is, of course, because when you don't have peace, it's like if you don't have peace, then you're stressed, you're unhappy, you have these things. The opposite of peace is that you have oppression. And Jesus says that, he wants to release the oppressed. If we don't have peace, then we feel oppressed by all the things going on in our lives. And he wants to bring us peace rather than having oppression. And he says, "I have good news for the poor." So how is the favor of God come on us through Jesus? He says he has good news for the poor. If we struggle with the material things of this world, God says, "I will provide." And the Bible has all kinds of promises. If we are in him, if we have a relationship with him, if we have trust and faith in him, he is going to provide for us. "I have never seen the righteous forsaken and his seed begging for bread." If we are righteous in Christ, then he promises us that we're not going to be forsaken. We're not going to be begging for bread. He's going to provide for us. So the stress and all the worry that comes with the limits of the physical things, the material blessings of this world. He says, you don't have to worry about that. I will take care of you. So we should have peace in that area of our life if we have a relationship with Jesus and his favor rests upon us. He goes on and he says that he gives us freedom for the prisoners. Those things that we can be free from, prisoners. There's a lot of things that we can be prisoners to. Obviously, all of mankind is a prisoner to sin. Amen? So he wants to redeem us from that. But there are other things that can keep us prisoners too. Bad relationships can make us a prisoner. Addictions can make us a prisoner. Worrying about what other people think of us. You know, our own self-perceptions can keep us a prisoner. There's all kinds of things that we can become imprisoned by, which simply means we're not living the fullness of what God intends. You know, this is what you may think poorly about your situation, or you may think poorly about yourself. And God says, that's not how I see you. A lot of people have a bad self-image, and they're prisoners to their bad self-image. When God is saying, no, you are incredibly, wonderfully, beautifully, you are made, you're a work of art. I crafted you with my own hands. I have special purpose and meaning for you. And we're looking at ourselves in the mirror going, yeah, I'm not much. God says, no, you need to think of yourself the way I think of you. He wants to bring, as he says, recover or freedom for prisoners, whether it be if we're trapped in sin, if we're trapped in low self-image, if we're trapped in bad relationships, if we're trapped in some type of addiction, all these things. He says, I came to give you freedom from that. That's what God intended. Goes on, he says, recover sight for the blind. If we have physical struggles, physical limitations, illness, all of these things, we know that Jesus allowed his body to be broken so that ours could be healed. This is what Jesus has come. These are the things that we are to have peace in, that I don't have to worry about these things because Jesus came to give his life so that I don't have to struggle with these things. I can just simply trust him and I can have peace. I don't have to worry about these things. I can turn them over to him. And finally, he goes on and says, to release the oppressed. Again, the oppression is the opposite of having peace. With oppression comes worry and struggle and doubt and all these things, which are is a direct opposite of having peace. But Jesus came to offer us peace. And he says what? I'm going to go back and read that Luke 4:18-19 again. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news. The good news to all of us, to the poor, to the sick, to the oppressed. He anointed him for that purpose. He anointed Jesus for the purpose to have, to bring us peace. Now, you can think of anointing as God placed this anointing, we see anointing in the Bible like anointing oil. Obviously, God didn't just pour oil on Jesus and say there. It's a special, almost like power. It's a special gift. It's a special ability. An anointing, the gifts of the Spirit are said to be anointings that we receive, anointings of the Holy Spirit. God anointed, he gifted Jesus for the purpose of what? To bring us peace. Acts 10:38 says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. God anointed Jesus, we're told here, with the Holy Spirit and with a power to heal us from those things that steal our peace. He anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good, healing all who were under the power of the devil. Our peace comes when we get under the control of Jesus and out of the control of the prince of this world. He anointed him to bring us freedom, to live for him rather than to live for the things of this world. I just love that, though, how he says he anointed him with the Holy Spirit and power to heal us. We think of healing oftentimes as being physical, right? I mean, if Keely's leg or ankle gets healed, we think her the bone physically heals. But healing is more than just physical. Amen? Healing is those things that harm us, things that keep us held back, things that bring us hurt and frustration and disappointment and discouragement and all those things. We're healed when that situation changed. I'm no longer discouraged, I'm encouraged. I'm no longer sad, I have joy. I'm no longer oppressed, I have hope and peace. That's the healing that Jesus came to give us. And God anointed him specifically for that purpose, to heal us. Satan comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. So if God wants you to have peace, what do you think Satan wants to steal? Your peace, right? I'm not going to ask you to speak it here or anything like that or raise it, but it might be interesting sometimes. If you want to have a good, people go, I don't know what to pray about. I know I should pray each day, maybe at least a couple minutes, something, but I never know what to pray. I've prayed for a whole minute and I'm run out of things to pray about. I'll give you a good thing to pray about, and it would be one of the most beneficial things you could possibly do. Write down the things in your life that steal your peace. You might want to come up with some code names for certain people in case they come across your list that says, things that steal my peace at the top of it, and they find their name on the list. Maybe you want to give them a nickname. We would all have a list, of things, not just people, but people certainly would be on the list, but things that steal our peace. And then, because you know that Jesus came to give us peace, and he's anointed for that purpose, because Satan steals, he's trying to steal our peace, pray accordingly that Satan cannot steal your peace in all these different areas. And you know that Jesus, most of us probably be like, oh my gosh, I've been praying for an hour and a half, of all the things that steal my peace. It would be one of the most productive things if prayer that you could possibly do if you really want to see your life be what God wants it to be. Jesus was anointed for that purpose, to give us our peace back in all these areas that Satan tries to steal our peace. Does that make sense? John 16:33 says, I have told you these things so that you may have peace. God wants us to have peace. I can look at all the areas that I'm disobedient to God. I've got plenty of them. But one I don't normally think about? I don't think about when I don't have peace, I'm being disobedient to God's plan. That's not something, a way that we normally think about disobedience. We often think about having peace and joy and hope is a luxury. Hello? You guys are awfully quiet here this morning. Am I hitting the nail on the head here for some of you? We think if we have some hope or some peace or that we think, oh, gee, that's a luxury. I just don't expect that because it's so rare, it almost never happens. But we should view it as good news that God intends, he wants, Jesus came for the purpose of, he expects us to be able to have peace in the midst of the craziness of this world. And all the things that Satan's doing to try to steal our peace, he offers peace to us and says, you don't have to live like that. You don't have to worry like that. It doesn't mean the event isn't happening. It means that I don't have to let it steal the peace that Jesus gave to me. It doesn't mean that whatever's stealing our peace is just going to automatically vanish. It means, though, that I don't have to lose my peace in the midst of it. Why? Because I have my eyes on the eternal. I have my eyes on the heavenly. And like the video said, I know that in the big picture of things, I am going to go home someday, back to that place that God created me to live in, that eternal Garden of Eden that we now call heaven. That's where my focus needs to be. And so I don't have to lose my peace because of what I'm going through right now, because I know that God's got something so much better and so much more, eternal for me than this. And that when I don't live with that mindset of peace, I'm actually disobeying God. I've told you these things so that you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. If I don't view this world that has trouble in it, that God has overcome it, then I'm not being obedient to what God wants, and I'm not going to have the peace that He came to give me. Second Corinthians 6:2 says, "For He says, in the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation." We're living in that time of favor. We can have God's eternal promises to us. God's favor and our salvation go hand in hand. Because God sent Jesus to show us favor, we have the promise of salvation. We can have peace, and here's the way to have peace about us. We think about our salvation as something that's going to be out in the future when we enter heaven for eternity. Then that's our salvation, amen? But that's not what John writes here. He says what? Our salvation is right now. Our salvation is now. We are just as saved. If you have confessed your sin and your need of a Savior to Jesus and say, you know, forgive me, save me, you're just as saved now as you will be 1,000 years from now in God's presence in heaven. We're just as saved now. Today is the day of God's salvation. And if we have that, then we overcome the things of this world that steal our peace, our joy, all of those kinds of things. Because why? Because Jesus came, we have God's favor. He came to give us favor. Now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Again, Luke 2:14, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to men, on whom his favor rests. When we accept Him as our Lord and Savior, then His favor rests upon us and we have His salvation now and into eternity. We need to live and we can have peace now because we know that we're living in the reality of that salvation and it lasts forever. It's a forever situation. It's a forever thing that God wants us to have that. He came to give us not just peace now, but an eternal peace and into eternity. I pray that this Christmas season and throughout the year that you can walk in the peace of God, and that's what He wants us to. Yes, we're all going to slow down, hopefully, this Christmas season. You know, have a week there in between Christmas and New Year's where the world kind of slows down and catches their breath, and that's good. That's absolutely good. I hope everybody just enjoys it as much as possible. I pray that no calorie will redound to your weight gain. Wouldn't that be great? I haven't found out how to do that yet, but we can just enjoy it, just relax and enjoy it. But I hope that we can, because of the favor of Christ coming into this world, that we can have peace all year long. I'll close with this. Philippians 4:4-7 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Jesus came into the world at this time of the year that we celebrate as Christmas to give us peace on earth. But it's not just at Christmas time. It's for always. He wants us to always be focused on Him, as it says here in Philippians. And if we do, then we can have peace in our lives, even in the midst of all the things that come along to steal our peace. And when those events come along, whatever happens to steal your peace, remember, it's not that event that you're experiencing. It's Satan who wants to steal your peace. Because Jesus came to give us peace, therefore we know it's Satan that wants to steal it. And so, yes, deal with the situation, but pray against the enemy who's trying to steal your peace. That's where the real benefit comes in. That's where you see the real answers to prayer, when you know the source of the one who's trying to steal your peace and you come against him in the name of Jesus. That's where our authority is. And God came to give us peace on earth. I pray that however you define peace in your life, that you're going to receive it. Amen. Not just this Christmas season, but we can walk in it every day of the year.